As we end up this calendar year, I want to, we have been dealing with moving forward. And this may be the last component of this section or this series before we start another part of moving forward. I believe we're going to be moving forward next year, but we have dealt with some intriguing things, if you will, to me, in this whole moving forward series. But I feel like the way this word is here, it's a let's get it fixed kind of word. So I want to talk to you from the subject, moving forward as movers and shakers. Might want to hold on though. Moving, I should say it. I'll say it like this. Moving forward as a mover or a shaker. Amen. I'll do or instead of and. My first point is going to come from Matthew chapter 28. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28, we'll start at verse 1, and I'll share with you my first point. I have found this in my own personal life, as well as in the lives of others, as well as in the scriptures. When people realize, this is my first point, when people realize that God is doing something, they generally have one of two reactions. They are movers or shakers. When people realize that God is doing something, they generally have one of two reactions. Those one or two reactions, if you will, are movers or shakers. Matthew chapter 28, let's go from verse 1. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. When you look at this, according to the text, the Bible says that there was a great earthquake. So this wasn't just a little tremor. It was a great earthquake. So the earthquake was great, but people could have perceived it as a natural event. You know how you can see things that transpire and people, well, that's explainable. That's not necessarily God. But it was clear here from those of us who are reading the scriptures who have an understanding that when the angel came, he is the cause of the earthquake. But people can perceive things as natural events. Oh, yeah, God is, we're saying God is doing something, but so, oh, that's just natural. You know, just because you got blessed like that, they just really like you. Or that was just someone being nice. That was just somebody being kind. It's just a natural event. Amen. Just go with me. So there are often things that are directly orchestrated by God, but people perceive them as natural events. I would go with something, but I'm not, because of the sake of time, I want to keep us moving. Verse 3, the Bible says, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Now, the angel we know is not natural, but was sent from God. Verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So they saw a move of God, and they did shake and became as dead men. So they was paralyzed. They were paralyzed with fear and trembled because of what they saw. So instead of being movers, they became shakers. Oh, y'all with me now. Y'all with me now. Y'all with me now. Y'all with me now. Okay. Look at verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, not the shakers, fear not ye, don't be like the shakers, For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. And the amazing movers are seeking Jesus. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And verse 7, and go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Okay, they see the same angel. Okay. They listen to his instructions. So now when the keepers see the angel, all they do is shake. Verse 8, we going somewhere. Just hold on. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So they acted on the instructions and became movers. Movers act on what they hear. Shakers are immobilized. See, here's the thing. I'm finding out the shakers can see stuff, but they don't do nothing. We have to be careful that in moving forward, yeah, we hear or we see the move that God is trying to bring us into, but are we immobilized? Are we just stuck in that place? Well, this looks safer right here. After all I got to do is just stay right here. I've seen God move, but do you realize all you're doing is shaking? How is it that God could speak to us, give us instructions, tell us something he wants us to do, impress in our spirit, give us dreams, and we still ain't moved? We just shakers. Just shaking. Ooh, that was awesome. God, what did you do with it? Oh, well, just hold on. In the New Living Translation, look at James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. New Living Translation. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. You're only being a shaker. Because you're not doing what he said. God is expecting us to move with him. Not just listen, not just observe, not just take in. Ooh, that was nice. Praise God. I'm going to say something. I'm not here to offend anybody, but the word is offensive. Yeah. Right. It is. What are you doing to help move the gospel forward? Are you just dead weight? God is expecting. You know what? I learned this about God. He expects return on his investment. He said, listen, you could have took the talent I gave you, took it to the bankers and at least got interest. That's right. But you put it in the earth. You know what we made out of? Is everything that God gave you, are you investing in yourself? And not in the kingdom? Well, James chapter 2, verse 19, New Living Translation. I believe God. I'm believing God. I'm trusting him. You say you have faith, for you believe that there's one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in fear. So they ain't number shakers. They ain't doing number shaking. Because they didn't take what they know to be true and do something with it. I ain't going to be like no demon. Amen. What I know to be true about God, what am I doing with it? Well, we moving slow here. He says, verse 20, how foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Where's the works that back up what we say? Who are we sharing the good news with since we saved? Anybody know you're saved? Can you tell anybody else how to be saved? Well, Pastor, I don't know about all of that. Really? So how you know you're saved? I mean, it's got to be something that we can say to other people about what happened to us so that they'll know how to get what we have. if you go to the store and know that there's a sale, how do we know how to tell other people to get there, to get to the sale? And why can't we tell other people about the simplicity of the gospel? That Jesus was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. And guess what? He's coming back again. Now, what they do with that determines if they're a mover or a shaker. That's right. That's but you can give them that. Yes. Amen. All right. So how are you serving the Lord? By serving others. You know, let me ask you something. And I'm not just talking about here at Redeeming Love. God has blessed you with life. God has blessed you with strength. God has blessed you with certain abilities. If you were not here, who would miss you? Because those talents, those gifts, those abilities, if you're not using them to serve others, how are you serving God? Some of us, we come even to church and we don't connect with one another. We think it's good enough to say, I came and I heard the word. I got my word. What you do with it? I think about Yvonne. And Yvonne, you know, Yvonne takes all of the messages and she transcribes them. Yvonne is a scribe. And she puts it out there to everybody. Now, if you ever miss a service or whatever, Yvonne's got you covered in the sense that she's transcribed the service. Maybe she's taking her gift and making sure the word gets out. What are you doing? Do you know some people will be like, Yvonne, I didn't get the message. What happened? Because what she's doing is making a difference for somebody. What are you doing? Well, Pastor, I can't do that. I'm not saying you're supposed to do that, but there is something you're supposed to do. I mean, there are things that I don't understand certain things. How are you able to run and function on your job and you this, that, and the other, but you have no service in the house of God? Don't you know Pharaoh trained you so you can work here? I let that come to your mind here a little later. You obviously let it. What? Yeah, okay, who trained Moses? We have to understand that you're training to reign, but your reigning is in the kingdom. It's not about you climbing the corporate ladder and becoming this, that, and the other. That's all. Those are byproducts of the Spirit of God that's in you. Your excellence should cause you to excel in the corporate world. But the excellence came from the Spirit of God. Why do we have people who've been groomed in church who know how to sing? They say, well, yeah, my background started in the church. But now you are singing some of everything else. You bumping and grinding with everybody now. And you say, well, yeah, uh-huh. That's where you perfected your gift. And now you just gave it over to the world. See, we can see that when it comes to singers. But what about us when it comes to our respective talents and gifts? What is the so you know you weren't doing nothing else and somebody let you teach children's church. And that's the first time you ever stood in front of people. And it was little people. But you got your confidence up now you doing Toastmasters and everything else, and you all in front of people and you looking at but you know where your foundation came. It's in the church. See, we cannot forget what God has done for. What are we doing? Are we movers or are we shakers? Somebody ought to know about the Christ that's in us. Somebody ought to feel the effect of being around us because we love our God. Well, let's keep going here. Number two. Told you when people find out that God is doing something, they generally have one of two reactions. They are either mover or shaker. Number two, a delay or stoppage in our moving forward could be hazardous to our well-being. A delay or stoppage to our moving forward could be hazardous to our well-being. When the children of Israel moved out of Egypt, the Bible talks about where they camp at. And when, if you read the text and you understand that it wasn't a great distance from Egypt. So a delay or a stoppage in our moving forward could be hazardous to our well-being. Because when they stopped, they were close enough to see Pharaoh and his soldiers pursuing them. And in pursuing them, they thought that they were going to die and were ready to panic. And that's when God speaks to them in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. And he says, Moses, why are you crying to me? Speak to the people and tell them to go forward. Because instead of panicking and freaking out, God had already had a plan. But sometimes because of a delay or a stoppage in our moving forward, it can be hazardous to our well-being because of how we react. Let me give you some text. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, King James. Genesis 19 and 1. The Bible says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat there in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Lot recognized the move of God and positioned himself accordingly. I'm going to say that again because I don't want you to jump over to, okay, what's the next point? No, I want you to understand this. Lot is in a position in the gate. He is a man of well-esteemed, a man well-respected in this city. He is sitting in the gate amongst the elders. And in the gate where the decisions are made, where the transactions are done, Lot is there. But all of a sudden, Lot recognizes some angels. And in him recognizing the angels, look at how Lot, he says, the Bible says, seeing them, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. His face toward the ground. He positioned himself for what God was doing. I'm going to worship. He was in a position of worship. Well, I'm going to keep moving. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet. And you shall rise up early and go on your ways. Thank you. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Now, the angels were there not for Lot, but to observe. There was something they needed to see. Okay? They said, no, but we're going to abide in the street all night. We need to stay out here so we can see what's going on. Now, I want you to get this. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Listen to this. We must learn to accommodate the move of God because the move does not accommodate us. The angels were not there to go to Lot's house. But Pastor, they did. The Bible says he entreated them. He pressed on them. In other words, he showed that he desired the presence of God. Yes. People are like, oh, you know, praise God. Do you want God? Yes. Watch this. You don't like being around folks that don't want you around. So Lot literally had to, come on, y'all, come to my house. And he got him to come to his house. I wonder, some of us, would we have even desired the presence of God? Because we've got to learn to accommodate the presence of God or the move of God, because the move of God does not accommodate us. It's not designed, oh, okay, well, you know, what do you need? No, it's about us. God, what do you desire? Verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, Even the men of Sodom compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Go with me to Luke chapter 17, verse 28, because I'm going to divert just for a moment. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. I'm going to divert just for a moment, because in Genesis chapter 19, we're dealing with Sodom. And everybody knows or knows bits and pieces of the text with Sodom and Gomorrah and God destroying it. I want to say something. Jesus is speaking and he says, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Jesus is saying, just like the days of Lot were. And he lists the things that was happening in the days of Lot. Verse 29, please. He says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. The point being, Jesus is making a reference or likeness to the time of Lot in reference to when he comes back. So we need to know what was happening in Lot's day, because it gives us a reference to what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. Now, back to Genesis chapter 19. Let's see what it was like in Lot's day. Now, if this is offensive to somebody, I'm just reading the text. And I'm a straightforward kind of person. I mean, I ain't hating on nobody. I'm just saying it is what it is. Genesis 19 and 4 says, but before they lay down. Now, before the angels could lay down and get some rest at Lot's house, the men of the city, the men, even the men of Sodom, so you know what city, compassed the house around or surrounded the entire house, both old and young. So all of the men out of Sodom, old men and young men, all the people from every quarter came. Are we all there?
Yes.
What is the mindset of these people? What kind of people are these that would surround a house? What's on their mind? What's their attitude? Let's look at verse 5. They called unto Lot. They knew who lived there. And said unto them, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That word no is not, we want to sit down and have coffee. They desired to have sexual relations with the men or the angels, because the angels didn't look like angels. They looked like men. So I want you to understand that Jesus is saying, just like it was in Lot's day, is the way it's going to be when I come back. So if you are wondering what's going to happen in the future, if you're wondering why people have discovered that there are people in Atlanta that are on the down low, if you're trying to figure out why in the world that you see people going this way and that way, that they can't figure out which bathroom to go to anymore, if you wonder why in the world men look like women and women look like men and all of these other things are happening, he said, when I get ready to come back, remember what Lot's day was like. We have to understand that Jesus is putting things out there for the people of God to understand. So what I'm saying to you, as much as we may protest, thinking that we're going to get our signs, and some folks think that we could just do what happened in the 60s, except for the prayer part. People are wanting to protest with all of these picket signs, but they've forgotten that people went with prayer far beyond a picket line. We got people who are not praying, but they say, well, you know, I oppose this. I'm standing against this. And ain't prayed a lick. This is a spiritual battle. It's not natural. But he said, just like it was, or as it was in the days of Lot, everything was looking normal. And people had, I want you to understand, the city had accepted this way of life. This was not foreign. This was not criminal. It was accepted. So, saint of God, you know what's coming. Now, before you check out on me, it still don't give you an excuse not to be righteous. Because you remember, Sodom was destroyed because there was no righteous people there. Well, not enough righteous people. So, but here's the thing. The Bible says, every man of the city, both old and young. So guess what? As Jesus prepares to come back, righteousness will be a minority and sexual immorality will be a majority. Stick a pin in that for a second. The Bible says, Noah found grace in God's sight. Because all flesh was corrupt. Because watch this. Angels had begun to sleep with women. And it corrupted them, creating giants. It's in the text. I don't have time to go all of that and deal with all this. But my point is, after the corruption begins to sweep across all of mankind, God says, Noah found grace in my sight. The Bible says Noah and seven other people were spared. Because you know what happened after all of the corruption? God destroyed the earth. Okay, wait a minute. Fast forward to Sodom and Gomorrah. He comes to find how many righteous, is there enough righteous people in the city so I can spare it? There's not enough righteous people. What does he do? Destroy it. Fast forward to our day. The pattern is set. Will there be enough righteous in America to spare it? And you think your difference don't make a difference? What if you were in Sodom and Gomorrah? Would your righteousness have registered enough before God for him not to destroy it? Today, who knows? Who's to say that there's not angels just walking in America observing right now to see whether or not we should be destroyed or not? And you saying, well, it don't really matter. What about your loved ones? Well, let me get back to the text. I'm just showing you we all involved in this thing. You don't get a vacation. You don't get to just take off from being, I just want to relax and just not be a saint today. Really? Watch this. Verse 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. An entire community willing to rape other men. Notice there's no law enforcement trying to stop this. This is normal. This is no problem. Verse 6. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now, I'm going to skip some things for sake of time here. So go with me to verse 11, because if you know the story, basically Lot is out there trying to reason with them, offering him his daughters and so on and so forth. And the angels literally have to reach out, snatch Lot and say, you better get back in here. All of your reckoning and trying to work things out with them, it ain't happening. So they snatch Lot because they like, we'll take you. So verse 11, the Bible says, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. This is the angels and what they did to the men, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So what they say to him is, whoever and whatever that pertains to you and moves forward will be spared. Let me say that again. Whoever and whatever that pertains to you and moves forward will be spared. Saints, I want you to hear me. God is serious.
Yes, he is.
I'm going to show you how serious he is here. Verse 13. For we will destroy this place Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. So the evaluation had already been made, and the verdict was destruction. Now, before I want you to see something, though. Because we know this story, but I want you to see some nuances about this story. Do you realize everything in Sodom and Gomorrah looked normal? There is no storm. There is no earthquake. There is nothing. Two angels walked into the city. Because Jesus says they were buying, they were selling, they were doing regular everyday stuff. There was no supernatural event that drew everybody's attention. But the angel speaks to them and said, listen, now we're going to destroy this place. Everything that pertains to you, everybody that's related to you, you better get them because it's over. The verdict is done. Even though nothing looks different. Listen to this. Sometimes the difference between destruction and deliverance may be moving forward. Sometimes the difference between deliverance and destruction may be moving forward. You can't play Switzerland and stay neutral. You got to move with God. Even though things don't look different. Verse 14. I know y'all said, well, Pastor, I thought we were talking about movers and shakers. Just stick with me. I'm coming. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. There's a lot of things I could say about this. Let me say a couple things like this. It's kind of interesting because Lot has two daughters. And he says to the men when they were outside of his house, he said, I have two daughters. Do what you will with them, for they're virgins. But now Lot comes back and says, now, wait. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. But I thought, so a couple things here, because the scripture doesn't say. They could have been engaged. But we do know what kind of men were in that city. So what were his daughters about to get? Well, you know, any kind of man is a good man. If I could just get me one. Really? Really? See, you don't have to drop your standard because the standard has dropped. Righteousness is still right. Despite what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is accepting. What kind of life would they have had with men like that? Now, I know you said, well, Pastor, how are you saying all of that? You taking some liberties. No, I'm just tossing out some things for consideration. Now, I'll show you something in the text. When Lot is talking to them, now let's stop just for a moment. I know this is Sunday morning, but we could have a little teaching session on Sundays. So Lot went out. The angel telling them, he said, we're going to destroy the place. You better get everything, everybody you know. This is it. So now Lot goes out, speak unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. He said, up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. That's pretty plain. But he seemed as one that mocked. In other words, man, you joking. You just playing. Because everything looked normal. Nothing going on here. What you talking about? Quit playing. But God said, I'm going to destroy it. He gave them. Well, okay. All right. Let me just go straight there. Y'all want to just go straight there. Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he's seen as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Instead of moving, they were shakers. They simply thought it was all a big joke. People think it's a joke when God is doing things, when he's saying stuff, when he gets to talk about what's going to happen because they can't see it themselves. This ain't going to happen. That ain't going to be like that. No, it's everything's all right. But when God speaks a word, it's going to come to pass. Amen. We need to move with it. Look at this. Verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Saints, listen to this. After a night of sleeping on it, Lot has to be urged by the angels. What am I saying? Sometimes God speaks to us, and because it's not something that we have to do that moment, we sleep on it. And when we sleep on it, here's the challenge. The next time we think about it, it may not be as serious to us. Well, I don't know, Lord. Do you really want me to do that? You really want me to share my faith with them? See, you know how God could talk to you. And he may say something to you like, well, I want you to share with so-and-so what you went through. And you like, praise God, hallelujah. But now, he told you that in the evening. You're not going to see them till the next day. You know how you wake up that next day and it's like, well, I don't know if God really wants me to do that. They don't want to hear about what I went through. See, what you don't know is what you went through is the exact answer to their crises. But you had an opportunity to sleep on it. Now you're thinking about it. Well, you would have just responded. You had time to think about it. Don't you know us and our reasoning? It has nothing to do with the will of God in the sense of, okay, let me think about this and see if it's a good time to do it or not. Yes. We try to use our rationale to decide whether or not to do the will of God. Really? I said we. Yes. I ain't just talking about y'all. I said we. Amen. God give you a word or give you something to do, and all of a sudden, well, let me think about it. What you thinking about? Some of y'all, you know I am telling you the truth right now. You know it. Because we done just what Lot did. We slept on it. And now all of a sudden it ain't quite as pressing anymore. Lord, I'll do anything you say until he say do this. I'll be what you want me to be until he say be this. And you get time to think on it. Verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. The Bible says while he lingered, that word lingered means to delay or wait. Lot was a shaker. He wasn't moving. Y'all don't want to hear this. Look at this. And it says, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forward. You know what that word brought him forward means? Brought him forth? It means to go forward. I didn't know that. I had no clue, but that's what it means. If you look in the Hebrew, it means to go forward. The angels grabbed him and literally brought him or made him go forward. Why? Because God was being merciful to them. Don't you know sometimes God has literally grabbed us and moved us forward because we were lingering, we were thinking about it, we were trying to figure it out, trying to figure when's a good time? Lord, what? God says, move. You said, well, you know, I don't know if this is a good time to move, you know, because this is happening, that's happening, and this is, and he literally grabbed you and thrust you forward. Before you know it, you turn around and you look and you seen the situations have changed, you don't move locations, and you just like, Lord, I thank you. Because you were completely clueless because you lingered. You delayed. You waited. Well, because he was being merciful to us. See, just sometimes the mercy of God gonna move us. It ain't about us. Because you know I'm telling the truth. Sometimes we try to figure everything out. Verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. See, things can look ordinary. Now, this here's the thing. If you look, the Bible talks about they had gotten up early that morning. So it's a sunny day. It's normal. But he said, you need to move now. It's happening right now. You need to go. What I am trying to discern for my wife, my family, for redeeming love, is when God says move, we moving. Amen. I can't look at, okay, what? I don't know. It don't look like anything different. What is he saying? Because if you were looking around for signs on what it's doing, there is no fire and brimstone falling then. I want you to get what I'm saying. When he is telling this to Lot is not seeing anything different. It is a normal day. So when God is speaking to you about moving, don't look around to see if things confirm what he's saying. Just obey it. If you're waiting for signs to confirm it, it may be too late. So look at this. He says, verse 17 again, came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So don't stop or look back when you're moving forward, because it can be hazardous to your well-being. Look at verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Beautiful day. Sunrise, hallelujah, glory to God. What a wonderful time. Verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Nothing that made them know what was coming. Verse 25. He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I want to share something with you. I mean, we know the story, but I want to share something. While moving forward, we need to keep a couple things in mind. Number one, don't stop anywhere close to what God has delivered you from. Don't stop anywhere close to what God has delivered you from. If you look, Lot and them said, well, you know, we can't make it up to the mountain. How about this little city over here? Don't be so close that you can see what's happening behind you. Get away from, God delivered you from it for a reason. Well, you know, I don't go to the club always. Just on special occasions. I know, it's all right if I just have a little drink every now and then. God understands. You plan and you flirting with stuff that God delivered you from. Get as far away from it as possible. Because sometimes we play with it. It's not the enemy. Sometimes we play with it. And the enemy starts to say stuff to us like, well, you're strong enough. You can handle that. Listen, I understand that no good thing dwells in my flesh. Yes. Yours neither. Amen. So what that means is we cannot give any occasion to our flesh. So those things that we were delivered from, get as far away from them as possible. Yes, yes. That's good. That's good. I mean, I'm about to say some stuff because some of us, you know, we sit and we act, well, you know, it's amazing how we can look and you sit in church and look like everything is perfect. I mean, you in Walmart, why you got to go down the alcohol line? I mean, why? Well, I was looking at the T-shirts, and I thought I'd take the shortcut down there. Why? I'm going to be nice, so I don't incriminate nobody. I like fishing, okay? I like fishing. Now, when I go to Walmart, I'm always drawn to the fishing section. Always. I can see the rod standing up from when I first come in the store. Because I like fishing. So I'm automatically, Ken, I step foot in Walmart. We going to get groceries. I said, look at that rod back there. I automatically see that. I mean, I don't care what. We said, well, let's go by the electronics department. I want to see if they got any SD cards or some batteries or something. I said, okay. And I'm just, while we're walking, I'm looking at the fishing rods. No matter what. Not that that's a sin. That ain't what I'm saying. I say, now here's something I'm drawn to. Well, you know what? All of us have things that we have, prior history with. Don't you know the enemy knows your prior history? Let me help you out. Here's one of the reasons you don't deal or don't live in your past. The past is all the enemy has on you. He don't have anything about the future. But if, for lack of a better way of doing this, the enemy has a file on you. And it's a file on your old past. That's why Jesus says that you've become a new creature, because your past file does not pertain to you unless you want it to. What do you mean want it to? When God delivered you, you are completely free of that old file. However, if you go back into living that way, then that old file becomes relevant again. Because what has happened is you have two natures now. Well, I can't believe that them thoughts just keep coming to my mind. It's because you got the old nature still. We all do. But you know the difference? Now you can tell that fella to shut up and sit down. Before, you couldn't. For some reason, it seems like people do not understand that you have two natures. God didn't get rid of your old nature. Your old nature is flesh. My old nature is flesh. But before, we were driven by our old nature. You have a new nature now. It's the nature of God. And you have to feed your new nature. You have to put the word of God in your new nature. You have to pray. And there are times that God says, I want you to fast. Yes. 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 You know what? You can't cast out flesh. You crucify or mortify your flesh. Put it to death. Sometimes you're going to have to turn over your plate. Well, pastor didn't call no fast. Did God call one? How about you call one? You tell your nope. Some of you all don't realize that if you see your flesh, it loves to rule. But it's not designed. Your flesh is designed to be a slave. A slave to your soul, which is dictated by your spirit. Because your spirit allows you to be able to get the mind of God, and then you exercise the mind of God through your body or your flesh. So you get to do the will of God in the earth. But what happens is, if we keep diverting back to the old nature, which we're right next to that thing that God delivered us from, we try to get so close and so friendly with it. It's like literally holding a snake that you know is poisonous, going like, it ain't gonna bite me, it ain't gonna bite me, it ain't gonna bite me, it ain't gonna bite me. Oops, it bit me. Well, what you think it was gonna do? It's the nature of a snake. It's gonna bite you. That's what sin does. It's going to bite you if you play with it. Okay, Holy Spirit. Listen, Don't flirt with nobody that's not your spouse. You better stop. You better stop. Because in the course of flirting with them, notice this, it begins to release something. You start feeling a little good. Because they saying something to you that your spouse don't say. Oh, you look nice. You smell nice. Oh, you the greatest thing since sliced bread. For you know it, your head is being filled with air. You're too close to what you were delivered from. If the Holy Spirit is bringing it, I'm just going, hey. Ain't nobody told me nothing. But I'm saying it's a dangerous time. And that, you know, the enemy don't play fair. Well, all right, let me see if I get back to my text. So all I said, while moving forward, we need to keep a couple things in mind. I said, number one, don't stop anywhere close to what God has delivered you from. Number two, don't look back at what was then or what was when God, hold on. Don't look back at what was when God tells you to go forward to what is. Don't look back to what was when God tells you to go forward to what is. Let me share with you what I mean. We have a tendency to look in the wilderness. The children of Israel would look back at what was in Egypt. Remember, I said it takes no faith to live in bondage. What we don't understand is God does take us out and he brings us through a wilderness. And that wilderness is designed to make us totally dependent on God. And it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable because now you have to pray. Now you have to trust God. Now you have to believe him. Where before you didn't have to do those things. So it's all of a sudden, now you begin to look back to what was instead of what is. Because God is taking you somewhere. The wilderness is not home. I know you don't like being there, but it's not the end point. The wilderness was always designed to be a transition. But we get in the transition and don't like the transition and start thinking about what was instead of what is. Do you know that the first day that the children of Israel set foot in the wilderness, that there was a promised land? So the first day you set foot in your wilderness, the promised place that God has for you already existed. He's just taking you to it. The Bible says these things were written for our example. Get the example. Okay, God, this is wilderness. I don't like it. We know that. Lord, you know how I feel about it. But Lord, I can't wait to get up out of here. What do you want to do? What are you trying to make me? What do you want me to understand? What do you want me to know? Instead of fighting it, complaining, and criticizing, why don't you embrace it? It's my wilderness. And Lord, in this wilderness, you know one of the funny things that God done in wilderness? Watch this. This is amazing to me. God said, listen, I want you to build a tabernacle. What? Oh, yeah, I want you to know how to worship in the wilderness. If you could learn to worship in the wilderness, building a temple won't be a problem. Instead of learning to criticize and tear down stuff, can you build something in the wilderness? Can you build something you've never seen before? In the wilderness. Instead of complaining, I want you to build something. All right, I got a few minutes. I want to read something, verse 26. I want to read this again. Verse 26, Genesis 19. The Bible says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Go with me to Luke chapter 17 for a second, because I had a question for you. I have a question for you. The Bible says, it lets us know that Lot's wife looked back from behind him. So Lot's wife is behind him. She's not in front of him. She's behind him. And she looks back. My question is, why would Lot's wife look back? Now, I'm not just, for a minute, let's not get on Mrs. Lot for a second. Because I'm saying we need to know why Lot's wife would look back so we don't look back. Because it's obvious that God don't want us looking back. So what would make Lot's wife look back? Luke chapter 17, verse 3. I'm sorry, verse 31. The Bible says, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Now, Jesus is talking, and he makes a reference to something in verse 31. Don't go back for your stuff. Now, remember Lot sat in the gate. Lot was a man of prestige and honor. People recognized him. He had some status. But now Lot is leaving with the clothes on his back and a few family members. Maybe Mrs. Lot enjoyed the status. Maybe she enjoyed the prestige. Maybe she enjoyed knowing that her husband was a man among men. Come on, sir. And had a certain way that she was treated within Sodom. And lo and behold, you got to leave all this stuff behind now. Here's the amazing thing to me. They out of the city. The destruction is happening. If nothing else, they can hear it. It's happening right on their heels. And Mrs. Lot turns around to see. The angel said, I need you to get out of here. Don't stop in the plane. So where you stop at is critical. Then he said, don't look back. What you look at is critical. Not just your location, but your perception. Mrs. Lot decides to turn around and look. I just want to ask you something. I'm just thinking, what stuff do we possibly have that's so important to make us ever think about going back to what God has delivered us from? What's out there? What did you have that was so good before that God can give you something better now? What was his name? What was her name? Really? Are they really worth it? Because I want you to know something. Lot had his wife. Miss Lot had her daughters. What's so important? What you looking at? What you so consumed with? Sometimes we don't understand that what God's taking us from is worse in comparison to what he's taking us to. Do you realize that Lot's wife is wiped out right there? Let me help you. Lot's wife is a pillar of salt today. Today. If you could just find her, she's still there. Still there. I'm saying, because you thought about something behind you. The woman's name is never mentioned in Scripture, but everybody that knows Sodom and Gomorrah's story knows about Lot's wife, the pillar of salt. As I close, don't look back and get as far away from what God delivered you from. Some of us, I'm saying this to you because on this last day of this calendar year, you have stayed close to things that God delivered you from. You have allowed yourself to be around things. It's kind of like, well, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this, but you still got that. And you hope don't nobody know about that. Can I help you? They know.
Yes.
They know about it. Well, it's kind of like being an alcoholic and you think, I got mouthwash, they ain't going to know. Everybody, family reunion, they go like, all right, watch you go get the mouthwash. Everybody know. Just because they didn't say it. They just don't, ain't no use even saying nothing. Girl, he always been like that. Why you ride around with mouthwash in your vehicle? You think you got it all planned out. I'm just saying, people know. But beyond people, God knows. When you gonna leave your stuff behind? Because if you carrying that stuff, won't be long before you looking back. And God is not going to always be merciful. I'm just being honest. This is the message I believe that God has for us before we venture on something wonderful. Don't look back and get as far away from what God has delivered you from. All right? I'm finished.